Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. I appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us here. Father, thanks for coming back for another episode here on What Would Father Say.
No. Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, last week we started a new segment here, or a new series, if you will, on the nine contentious topics that the church faces here in the third millennium. We spent some time talking about contraception and the Lambeth Conference and our Lambeth Council, excuse me, and the pill and Paul VI's Humanae Vitae and John Paul II's Theology of the Body, and made some attempt to kind of arm y'all with some church teachings to help better understand and more importantly refute the arguments that the world and the devil want to try and hem us in on with some of this stuff. So if you missed that episode, I encourage you to go back to our website, armorofgodradio.com, and there you can pick up last week's episode. And remember, we broadcast these on Friday. We debut them on Friday, and then we do an encore presentation on Sundays, Sunday afternoons, at the same time. So, this week, Father, we're going to jump into kind of contraception's evil cousin, abortion. This
Well,
is
evil
one that,
child.
evil
Abortion
child, yeah.
became legal after,
Yeah.
contraception became accepted. That is, was in Supreme Court. Sandra Day O'Connor said, "Well, there needs to be backup for failed contraception."
So let's take just a little bit of a history lesson here. Where did the idea really kind of take hold, especially in America?
Well, of what, abortion? Yeah, so, well, I mean, people have been doing abortions for a while, but the church has always said, followed the notion, thou shalt not kill. What you do the least among, you do for me. And everybody knew that. And for almost all countries, abortion was illegal. Now, the Greeks and the Romans, they would kill, they do practice infanticide. That's nothing new. In the Asia, someone was born, just misformed. That's one of the first signs we have of Christianity. When babies were left out to die of exposure, it was the Christians that came along and saved them. But I would say, that abortion has been was illegal here. It was always up to the state. It was a state thing. Up to what was it, 1972, when Roe versus Wade,
73.
73, 1973,
73.
when it came down. Now we can talk all about that, but I think I'd like to give your listeners, when they get in these conversations about abortion, you have to be laser focused, because they'll talk about what if a 12-year-old gets pregnant by rape or incest, and we can talk around those, and those are awful situations, but we have to be laser focused on what is the unborn? What is the unborn? If someone believes in human rights, and an unborn child, a fetus, is a human being, then you have to ask, do you believe in human rights? When do we afford human beings human rights? Now, if the unborn child, if the fetus is not a human being, then getting abortion is like getting your molar removed or your appendix. Who cares? Sometimes you got to do it. If it is a member of the human species, if it is Homo sapiens, it is a human being, then the law ought to protect it at all costs. So is it alive? You have to ask, if it's growing, then it's alive. Does it have human parents? Then it's a human being. And at what point do we afford it human rights? So we have to always start, because that always has to go back to that, because they'll just assume that oftentimes that the unborn is not a human being. So you have to thought, well, it's not a person. Well, what is a person? What is a person? So for Christians, we remember that we follow the golden rule that the least among us, how we treat the least among us, Jesus identifies with them. And these are our smallest, most vulnerable brothers and sisters. You don't have to use the Bible. You don't have to use Christianity at all. You have to get the person to agree. So, even the law recognizes. So, if you were to come over here and punch me in the mouth, Tom, I guess I could call the police, but they probably wouldn't come. I could file an assault charge, and probably settle out of, he hit me in the mouth. Why'd he do that? I don't know. They probably wouldn't even mess with it. However, if I was a 12-year-old kid and you punched me in the mouth, you could be in some trouble. You could be in some trouble. What if I was 12 months old? They would throw you under the prison. So the smaller the victim, the more protection they're awarded. So I would always tell people, once a baby is born, it is surrounded by rights. It is surrounded by, the nurse takes the baby, cleans it up, and that child has rights, more rights than even you and I have. We have no right to leave it and let it die. No, it's totally dependent. It has no autonomy. But 6 inches up the birth canal, it doesn't. That doesn't make any sense. So when someone brings up, I had this conversation not too long ago with a Catholic who was kind of leaning left on different things, especially in this. And I asked her, she actually was a member of the Disciples of Christ Christian group, and she became Catholic. So I said, "What do Disciples of Christ think about abortion?" She made an amazing statement. She said, "They're not excited about it." Well, that's good.
Imagine that.
So I asked her, like, if someone were, a woman were 9 months pregnant, should abortion be legal to kill that child? Oh, no, I don't think so. I said, okay, 8 months. She goes, I know what you're doing. I said, well, let's go there. I know, let's go. It's 8 months. Should that be legal? Well, yeah. 7 months? Well, I don't know. Well, should it be legal? What about 6 months? Well, I think in certain cases it should be legal. Why? Well, if it's deformed. Wow. Or life of the mother. You get those kind of things. You get those. What if it's a rape or incest? Why does it suddenly become okay to kill children who are the children of rapists or sexual assault? Why does it become, is it a child? Well, it's fully formed. It can have memories. Oh, I know plenty. I'm losing my memory. Is that okay to kill me? And you have to keep using that term. Is it, when is it okay to kill? And even for life of the mother. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I was a chaplain at a hospital for a while. And I worked in a NICU. We go in there. I always tell people, never once did I ever do an emergency call on someone who died of starvation or died in childbirth. Now, that happened for many centuries. That'll always happen. But you try to save them both. You try to save them both. You do whatever it can. Now, there is an ectopic pregnancy where sometimes the fallopian tubes have to be removed. But for the vast majority, it's not rape and incest. It's just inconvenient. It's just inconvenient. And that's when we say, just because you don't see the baby and the baby's silent, that's when we have to speak up and keep calling the baby a baby. What about her? What about her? Humanize, because they want to dehumanize. It's just a clump of cells. Now, I met you, Tom. You're a bigger clump of cells than me.
I'm a
I'm
bigger clump
five
of cells
five.
than a lot. Yeah, I'm a bigger clump of cells than a lot of people, unfortunately.
How tall are you? How
I'm about
tall are you?
5'10". I'm about
Okay,
5'10".
I'm not even 5'6". I always tell people, I'm a clump of cells, and you're a clump of cells, and it's not okay to kill us. Well, it's, because they use these terminologies that are very powerful.
That's what I was just going to go to, because I think the illogical argument of, oh, it's just a fetus, or it's just an embryo, it's just a it's just a it's just a it's just a those are just
Yeah.
stages and phases of human development.
Yeah.
It's
And what
a
does
fetus is
fetus
no
mean?
different than a teenager, you
Or a
know,
toddler?
or a
It's
toddler,
just a
right?
stage of development. Well, it's outside the womb. So we would say, does location
Make a
dictate
difference.
your worth? Location, level of dependency, and how you came into existence. Even the word fetus, again, it's the dehumanized. Fetus just means little one or offspring. That's all it means. It's just a low, and you have a newborn, you have a toddler, you have preteen, Adolescents, I mean, you can make an argument that adolescents, are they real people? Sometimes I don't know. Eighth graders, I wonder if they don't have full functioning frontal lobe, but we don't kill them. We don't kill them. And it really is, to be theological, abortion is really a sacrament to Satan. It is offering the innocent on the altar of convenience. And it kills people's spirits, their souls, their families. It drives a wound. It makes us less human because we sacrificed, we beat up little children because they can't fight back. I mean, when we realize what abortion is, we should all be flat on our backs. And one day those children will rise again and they will convict us that we didn't protect them. What are we going to say to them? What are we going to say to them? But it all comes from convenience. It goes back again to contraception. People want sex without consequences, and pregnant and babies are a consequence and make our lives inconvenient. That's the statement of Saint Teresa of Calcutta. It is a poverty that you must kill your offspring for your own, to make your life easier. That it's a poverty that child must die, so that you may live your life as you wish. It is a poverty. She's very kind. It is a poverty. You know, it's a tragedy. It is a tragedy. And you can always go back even to slavery. Why was slavery made legal? Well, they would dehumanize them. And then make up things. Well, what about, what are we going to do? You're gonna round up all these slave owners and put them in prison? No, doesn't mean it's okay to. No, what are you gonna do? You're gonna put a woman in prison? Well, I mean, if a 16-year-old mother has a baby, throws the baby in the dumpster, there's laws about that. She'll probably get off. I mean, there's mercy, there's understanding, but abortion providers should go to jail. Because anybody think, well, in the first few months, does it? It's perfectly legal in all stages, because health of the mother has a very wide width. Was it Dalton versus Casey or whatever it was, said that in the case of, what is the health of the mother? Well, that's emotional,
Subjective.
financial, familial, anything that would cause. Yeah, no, you can pay. There's plenty of places that will, in the third trimester, and it's grisly. It's grisly. But we need to. But if the reason why slavery doesn't exist anymore is because it's unthinkable. It is unthinkable. We wouldn't stand for it because we recognize that people, slaves, especially African American, they're people. They're people, and they dehumanize them. I think it comes from our kids playing video games against zombies. They're
Oh
always
yeah.
killing zombies.
Just reset. Just start over. I could come back to life. So how do we
Anyway.
how do we respond to our Catholics, I'm using air quotes, in the pews next to us who call themselves pro-choice Catholics?
Yes, and how do we respond?
Yeah.
One of the spiritual works of mercy is to admonish the sinner and to educate the ignorant. And sometimes the days are over saying, well, you just don't know. We need to scold them and say, shame on you. Shame on you. Our Blessed Mother was in a crisis pregnancy when she was pregnant with our Lord. You should know better. It's just like with contraception, Eucharist, and abortion. No excuse. We have to convince our own people, but to call yourself a pro-choice, I say you pro-choice about slavery. I mean, that's what they would say back in 1860. Hey, I wouldn't ever have a slave, and I don't want to impose my morals on you. But if you want to have one, you just go right away. You just go right ahead. Who would say that? Who would say that? That would be an abomination. So I think it starts out with to educate the ignorant, console the sorrowful, but also admonish the sinner. There's plenty of Catholics in government who are okay with partial birth abortion. Shame on them. Shame on them. And hopefully the clergy and the hierarchy and would start doing that and banning them, like Bishop Colleoni in San Francisco said, Nancy Pelosi, you can't be coming to communion if you're voting for pro-abortion. Shame on you. But
And it's that relativist attitude that John Paul II always talked about. That, oh, it's not anything that I would do, but I'm not going to tell somebody else how they should live their life.
impose your people, the law imposes its. It's like telling this person, I would never go over speed limit, but if you want to go 110, that's your foot. You go as fast as you want. No, who says
That's
that?
ridiculous. Yeah,
Who says
exactly.
that? I mean, we're always imposing more. That's what laws do. They impose morals on us. And we have said it's killing children. But there's always one group of people that get dehumanized, and we're always wrong, whether it's women, blacks, Jews, and the unborn. But it is a mystery. I mean, the very people that were always about my body, my choice, were the ones that wanted us to, mask up 6 feet, get the Fauci ouchie. But when it comes to abortion, oh, we will help you. They get them across the border to El Paso, I mean, to New Mexico and execute their children. We will face the rain on this one day when all those children rise from the dead. And the rest of us who are fighting for them, hopefully, we'll be able to say to them, I did my best to try to protect you, and I'm so sorry that I did not stand up for you when I had a chance. So your question, what do we say to them? First of all, I know what I say to them. I say, shame on you. Don't you dare go up there and receive that communion. Because you're saying, Jesus said, this is my body. And an unborn child is saying, please protect me. And you won't do it. We got to call them out, the cowards. Because the same bunch of Catholics have no, most Catholics have no problem with same-sex marriage. I mean, we'll talk about that. So we have to get our household in order first, Tom, before we start telling the world what to do. The neighboring Episcopalian down the road, who's, they don't have no problem with marriage and divorce and contraception and abortion, engaging them, but it's the people in the pew. That we really
And
have
it's
to reach out to.
right, and it's no different than voting for politicians or supporting businesses that are advocates of quote unquote reproductive rights, which is an
It's
interesting
all,
term in and of itself, but
well, they are
we'll
you
get
they
to that.
have
But
to, terminology is important because they use language like gender is a, and they even call, they'll normalize, I'm sorry, normalize. They marginalize normal by calling normal men cisgender. But they'll say, unborn, that's an, reproductive rights. You mean killing? Killing? So they
Killing
won't.
the product of reproduction is
So
not a
products of
reproductive
reproduction.
right.
But that's what a Catholic has to be laser focused. What is the unborn? Is the unborn a human being? If not, what is it? And just because it's dependent on its mother, it's not okay to kill it. That uterus is for that child and not asked to come into the world. I often think about, whenever you and I step on an airplane, we are trusted, we are invited onto that plane by the airlines, and we trust that the people in the cockpit are. What if the pilot and the co-pilot say, my plane, my choice, and just jumped out? You and I are helpless.
We're
We're
dependent
helpless
upon
inside.
We're dependent upon their skill and their education and their training
And we can't
and
get
what.
out. We're totally dependent. A guy was in my hall. He was arguing with me about this. He goes, what about bodily autonomy? I said, what does that mean? Well, it's there. It's thinking. I said, you're in my hall. Sure, can I shoot you in the head? All autonomy. You're in my car. Is it okay if I shoot you in the head? Well, you're in my car, breathing my air. You're totally dependent, and I'm not gonna swerve over and hit the 18-wheeler. You're like a leech, man. You're like a leech. That's what they'll use. It's a leech. We have to remember, Tom, let's just speak plainly. Oh my gosh. That men are easily seduced and women are easily propagandized. Nine men voted that it's okay to kill a child in their mother's womb, and a small minority of women wanted to have abortions. And now, the woman's vote has killed families, and men are just standing by, killed marriages. When a woman has an abortion, she will live with that for the rest of her life, and hopefully seek healing and forgiveness. But also remember, there's a dead child there, and that child is gonna rise from the dead. And what are we gonna say to it? We're sorry. Sorry, we didn't stick up for you. I mean, is that, yeah, that's when sorry is not enough.
No.
So
I
a
think
hundred years
it's
from now, we'll look back on this and they'll
yeah.
talk about we the way we talk about slave owners. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that. Anyway.
It's interesting that and I don't recommend this to anyone, but if you do go on the interwebs to search abortion, it's interesting that one of the first things that pops up is from, of course, the Planned Parenthood Political Action Committee, and how the lead article that popped up here for me is that abortion is central to the history of reproductive health care in America.
It's
And
satanic.
they blame nine men on a male-dominated AMA board in the 1850s for starting the crisis of limiting reproductive rights in America. And again, it's that lack of logic that really boils down to the arguments that the quote unquote pro-choicers love to make.
Yeah, it's changing the meaning of words. And if you can say an unborn child is not human or a person, then anybody can do that. They're going to come after you and me. They're going to come after you and me. But we still have to use the same term. When you take a human life, that's called killing. That's called murder, homicide. But they won't use that kind of language because it's all about empathy. But no one empathizes with the unborn child who's saying, "Please, mommy." I mean, what's warm and safe, and the most vulnerable among us that we exterminate on the altar of convenience. And hell rejoices, like Nefarious said, every time hell rejoices because we're made less human, we're made barbaric, and the evil one hates children, hates people, hates marriage. And when we do it to ourselves, we have a, he rejoices. It's a terrible sin and it's a forgivable one. And there's some really, really great people doing work out there in the pro-life movement, putting their life, and many of them experience the horror of abortion and healing. But in the end, laws have to change. Laws reflect morals, because that's how we make our laws, from our morals, and that's how we make our morals from our religion. If you don't have religion, then it's all. What informs our laws is our morals. What informs our morals is our religion. But if you don't believe in God, there's no God, then there is no, St. Teresa of Calcutta said, if abortion is not wrong, then nothing is
Nothing.
wrong. Nothing is wrong.
And I think I've always been struck by the reports that the woman who was Jane Roe in Roe v.
Yeah,
Wade,
is not pro, is pro-life.
later in her life, she spoke openly and actively about the regrets that she felt from A, being involved in that case, and B, and the other interesting facet I think about the whole case is that by the time it got to the Supreme Court, years after she initially had this suit, she'd already had the child, and
Yeah.
the child was, like a year or 18 months or so before, it was quote unquote that her name was used to vilify the child in a womb and make quote unquote abortion legal in the United States. I think it's horrible, but thank the Lord. As you mentioned, there's a lot of great organizations. One that you and I are both familiar with, Texas Alliance for Life, that is doing great work in the pro-life arena. And thank the Lord, the state of Texas is a leader across the United States in the pro-life movement.
Yeah,
And I've always,
we need to start taking them back, like what in the Civil War there was slave states and free states. There should be kill states and life states,
Yeah,
because New
exactly.
Mexico is a kill state.
But I one of the stats that Dr. Joe Poyman used to love to show prior to his retirement a couple months ago is that before the Dobbs decision in 2022, that the state of Texas had about over 3,500 abortions per month, and that and when the Dobbs decision came down, it enacted a bill in the state of Texas that allowed for some medically necessary, that's the language that's in the law, medically necessary abortions. And now here we are almost 3 years post Dobbs and the in the state of Texas, the outlawing of abortion. We have less than two per month. So we've gone
Thousands
from
of children have
over
been saved.
3,500 in a month to less than two in a
So,
month.
yeah, and we've saved many children. Many children will thank us. And
Hopefully. Thank the Lord.
yeah, praise God. So we are winning. We still got casualties. Oh my gosh, we still got casualties.
Well, and the laws are, and this is where I think Catholics should focus their effort going forward. My recommendation is the legislature and the laws of the land are necessary, but we have to change hearts and minds. We have to convince the American people that abortion should be unthinkable.
Unthinkable. It's unthinkable. And do the same thing that the abolitionists did. Put it out there in front of people to see, and say, "This is my brother in Christ. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. My religion demands that I defend them. It demands it." You know, when someone says, same thing with transgender, we'll talk about that later, but
Yeah, we'll come. Yeah.
when someone says, "Why don't you just call me by my preferred pronoun?" So you're asking me to lie. That's against my religion. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna call you a he or a girl. That's a lie. Don't you can't. Are you gonna impose your morals on me?
That's right. That's right. Well,
Wow.
we'll talk about that here in our coming weeks,
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're
yeah.
out of time for today. Father, thank you very much for your words of wisdom. Would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Yes, and may Almighty God bless you and your listeners. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All
Thanks a
right,
lot,
bro.
folks, and make sure you turn in on Sunday if you missed part of this for a rebroadcast, and we'll be back next week with another topic here on What Would Father Say? And remember to put on the armor of God.